All right, you were just listening to Welcome to Nova Scotia by Nova Scotian artist Halifax.
So this week, we are presenting our African Liberation Month special for No One Is Illegal Radio Toronto. And we have an important segment following this song that is on Gary Freeman and his family. As many people know, Douglas Gary Freeman is an African-American born in Washington, D.C. as Joseph Pennell, who moved to Chicago in the late 1960s at the height of state terror against black communities, particularly those that were in resistance to racism and white supremacy in the United States. After being trumped up on charges of shooting a police officer during a period of civil and racial unrest in Chicago, he fled to Canada, where he has lived for the past 35 years, working at the Toronto Reference Library, where he eventually met his wife, Natersha Coelho. Gary and Natersha have four children, and following the extradition to the United States of Gary in 2008, the family had been seeking reunification in the face of legal challenges brought about by the Canadian authorities. In this interview, upcoming interview, Natersha Coelho Freeman speaks about Gary's case, how it has affected the family, and urges us to action.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today, Natersha.
Thank you for having me.
Great. And so, essentially, we just have a few questions that we wanted to ask you. And the first is, if you could give us an update on where the family's appeal is for your reunification right now.
Okay. Your listeners probably recall that my husband, Gary Freeman, spent about almost 4 years of pre-extradition custody in Canada, and then he returned to Chicago voluntarily in February of 2008. He accepted a prosecution proffered plea bargain agreement, and that was of a guilty plea to a single count of aggravated battery for a sentence of 30 days in the Cook County Jail. We paid a major contribution to a Chicago police charity, and he also had to serve a two years of probation. So he was released from custody in March of 2008, and he moved back to Washington, D.C., because that's where his parents lived, and served the rest of his probation period. During his probation period, and it's probably a year, it's been about a year where we started the process of applying for Gary to return to Canada. So mm-hmm. It's the application for the temporary, what they call a temporary resident permit. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't heard anything back from the government, from the Canadian government. I guess it was around October 2009. We still hadn't heard anything from them. My dad passed away. My parents live in Montreal, October the 31st, my dad passed away. So we sought and we received permission from the U.S. authorities, so that was both Washington, D.C. and Chicago, because the case rested in Chicago, and they actually expedited a response and they gave him permission to come to Canada for him to attend the funeral. But the Canadian government refused him entry. And he died on October 31st. The viewing was on a Tuesday, and he was buried on a Friday. And we still hadn't heard anything as of that morning on Friday. So Friday late afternoon, our lawyers received a phone call saying that Gary was inadmissible to return to Canada, and that it was due on the reasons were because of the criminality, and also which was, I have to say, quite a shock to not only to me but to my family, to our friends, our community. He's inadmissible to Canada on national security grounds, and this is due to the false, unsubstantiated allegation that Gary had been a member of the Black Panther Party, which the government, they allege that, again, without supporting evidence, that the Black Panther Party is an organization which has engaged in terrorism. in order to achieve their objectives. Therefore, Gary which they allege that he was a Black Panther member, that he essentially is a terrorist also. So we know that newspaper accounts since 2004 have been labeling him a Black Panther, and various newspapers, and in court as well. And so we submitted an affidavit from Gary's lawyer from 1969, and he submitted an affidavit basically saying that Gary was never a member of the Black Panther Party or of any other organization. And when the Minister of Justice at the time, it was Big Chase, when he did his reasons for, he basically approved Gary's, or he said that Gary would be extradited. So in his reasons, he essentially said that if the U.S. Are saying that Gary is a member of the Black Panther Party, that they're going to have to prove it, conceding essentially that the government of Canada had no proof.
Right.
Your listeners may also recall that when we were during our bail proceedings, that before the Superior Court of Ontario, and that was Justice Nordheimer in 2004, the prosecutors, they, of course, didn't want Gary to get off on bail, and they never used the secondary ground, which is a security threat.
Mm-hmm.
They were using flight risk, but they'd never used security threat, which essentially they were conceding that he was not a threat to society. Gary holds a U.S. passport, and he received that November of 2008. He's actually flown a couple of times since his release in 2008 in the United States, and, you know, there's never been any issues whatsoever. We all know that the Black Panther Party is not listed anywhere in the world as a terrorist entity.
That's right.
Either by the U.S., Canada, or the United Nations, for that matter. And former high-profile members and associates of this group, they continue to travel freely to Canada for speaking engagements.
Right.
We all know that there's a U.S. congressman who was a former member of the Black Panther Party, and I believe he was the co-founder of the Chicago chapter. So it's really disheartening. The evidence that the Canadian government has that Gary is a member of the Black Panther Party are newspaper clippings. So this is, a serious statement that they're making. And so what we have is a petition that your listeners could find on our website. And basically, to the Minister of Immigration and the House of Commons. And it's directing the Immigration Minister to exercise ministerial which is under Section 25 of the Immigration and Refugee Protection Act. And it's in granting a temporary resident permit on humanitarian and compassionate grounds so that Gary can be reunited with us.
And Natasha, can you speak just briefly on, everyone was very happy and joyous upon realizing that Gary would be released from prison, but the last 2 years, obviously, being in probation in the United States and being separated from his family, can you talk a bit about how that's been for the family and what you've experienced during that time?
Well, it's funny because when he was incarcerated, he was behind bars, right?
And
so we couldn't touch him, and, there was plexiglass separating us all the time. And when he got out, I remember the day that we went to meet him in Chicago, and I probably would get choked up if I start, talking about it in detail. But it was quite a moment. Many times I read articles about when detainees, when they leave prison after having serving time, or out of jail, and reporters say, oh, what's the first thing you want to do? You know, you're going to go to a restaurant and eat and all this stuff. But it's none of that. It was so emotional. I mean, he basically had been behind bars in this small cell for almost like 4 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's out in this open space. And it's a difficult adjustment. For us to be able to put our arms around him finally after all that time was just, I can't even describe it. You know, it was so, so wonderful. My daughter was the first one to spot him, and she just flew across the street, you know, like, thought if a car was coming, she would have been dead. And we didn't even see him, like, before she saw him. And you know, it was the stuff that movies are made of, you know.
Right.
And so then he moves to his parents' house, and we're so grateful. My in-laws are such wonderful, wonderful people. But you know, Gary was not going home. He was going back to where he left when he was essentially 19 years old.
Right.
And it's a strange thing, you know, to go back to live with your mom when you have a home, when
That's
you
right.
have a house, when you have a wife and children, but they're in another country, and you can't live in that house, and you can't go back to your job. So we try to go down as often as, you know, we still do, as often as we're able to. We've spent last couple of Christmases together, and but you know, it's not home.
Exactly.
And so you go there, and for me it's almost like a love affair, you know, going down and meeting my husband, and it's wonderful to be with him. But when you know that there's 48 hours before it's time for me to fly back, the pressure kicks in. You know, the sadness kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sadness. You're completely overwhelmed with sadness because he can't be here. He can't be participating in all those little things that are important in life. Our daughter, for example, is expecting. And she came home and had a gift for me. It was, you know, wrapped up in a box, and I opened it thinking, well, it's not my birthday, it's not Christmas, like, what is this?
Right.
And it was a bib.
Aww.
And it said, there were two bibs. It says, I love you, Grandma, and the other one said, I love you, Grandpa. And, you know, all I could do was cry, because Grandpa should have been there. Grandpa should have been there to hold his daughter, to hug her. You know, that's what she needed, that's what he needed. But instead, this was done over Skype. Basically, my husband has been living in my bedroom on my computer monitor,
right,
on Skype. I talk to him every day. We see each other, but we can't touch each other, you know.
Yeah.
We can't hug, we can't. He's not here to get up in the morning and have breakfast and just all those silly things that couples do, families do, you know, having weekend breakfast together. And so we're grateful. We know that he's much better off than being behind those visible bars. But, you know, he can travel anywhere in the world, but he can't come home to Canada, where he spent most of his adult life, well, all of his adult life, and where his family is.
Yeah.
You know, he cannot come home. So, it's been tough, tougher than we thought.
Sure.
And February 22nd was to have been the milestone that we were so much looking forward to, the day that he was a free man, you know, the day that he completed his probation without, you know, it, everything went off well, and it was bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because he still, in a sense, has invisible, chains around him. He can't come home.
So, Natasha, I completely understand just what you're talking about, especially after going to visit Gary in 2008 and being brought through Washington, D.C., and the amount of knowledge and education that myself and the other known as a legal member that went experienced while we were on that trip, you know, made us even more dedicated to realizing that Toronto as a whole, the people here in this city need this person, Gary Freeman, back in our lives as a community. Beyond just the important links of his family, he's so rooted within this community, and the things that he has to offer for all of our listeners is really, really important. And I'm wondering if you can let people know where they can get the petition, how they can help get the petition signed and get them back to the family. What's the best way to do that?
Sure. We have our website. It's, if your listeners recall, it's the same website, www.freemandrum.org. We have a petition. This petition is not like the previous one that we had when we were trying to stop his extradition. They have to actually download this one, and what we're looking for is for them to get as many signatures as possible. Apparently, we need 25 or more signatures in order to approach an MP and have them tabling this at the House.
Okay.
But, you know, if they're not able to get 25, that's fine. Whatever they can get. The address of where they could mail the petition is on the website.
Excellent.
It's for the family and friends of Gary Freeman, and it's a Frederick Street, Toronto address. We're asking the listeners if perhaps, you know, they can write to Immigration Minister Jason Kenney. We are asking them to please keep their letters short, polite, and to the point. It's what I had mentioned before, where we want... we're asking Mr. Kenney to exercise his ministerial discretion and in granting a temporary resident permit. We know because we have heard this from friends and from family. They're really shocked with the facts of this case, you know, with this whole security grounds and the criminality, you know, saying that this is such a serious, serious, serious charge that he can never come back. So they're basically saying that the one count of aggravated assault is so serious that he can never come back. And they're really shocked about all of this, but we're asking them to please not make any additional editorial comments about either Mr. Kenney himself or about immigration policy in general. What this is just a simple plea to reunite a Canadian family.
Right.
And that's sort of the message that we would like people to give. As many of them would probably know, no stamp is required, and handwritten notes are actually the best. And the addresses for the House of Commons is posted on our website as well.
Okay.
And if they're emailing, to please copy Public Safety Minister Vic Case, and also to send us a copy at freemandrum@web.ca. That email address is also on our website. And if anybody is really wanting to arrange a meeting with their local member of parliament to discuss this issue, we would suggest that you get in touch with us first to find out what would be needed.
Yeah.
And they can do that with that email that's posted on our website as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview with us, Natasha. And,
well, I want to thank you. I want to thank you. I want to thank No One Is Illegal. I want to thank your listeners and the community of Toronto. You guys have, you've been our strength. Without all of you, we would not be where we are today. It's been since 2004, and your support is so amazing. It just makes Gary want to come back home so much more. And we all, Gary, me, and the kids, we all want to say thank you.
Well, thank you, and we all want to see Gary come home. So please give him our best, and we will get the listeners to go out there and sign the petitions.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Natasha.